All right, tonight, if you have your Bibles, let's turn to the fourth chapter of the book of Hebrews. And we've been spending a lot of time in the third chapter, been spending a lot of time with the doctrine of the sin. And I went last time and took us through the book of Romans all the way to the eighth chapter, because we find the noun sin preceded by the definite article and the singular. That is, it's not sins, it's one sin, the sin. And the sin was the sin of, we don't count Eve's sin as being the sin. Eve ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and then she gave unto her husband, and he also did eat. So when he ate of it, that is what is constituted the sin, because it plunged the whole human family into sin, because Adam is our federal head. So as in Adam all die, Christ is also our federal head. So in Christ, all shall what? All shall be made alive. So the formula works this way. If one person can plunge us into sin, then one person can take us out of sin. Okay. And it's not by works of righteousness, which we've done. Bible colleges, churches, all over the world, they're all caught up in man's morality. And let's put it this way. Good behavior is better than bad behavior. There's no question about that. Okay. But nobody makes it to heaven by their behavior. Why? Because in Adam, we all sin. And in order for that sin, the singular sin, which gave us the concept of that we could be like God by the lives that we live, which is the basis for every religious system in the world. No. They're all based upon some form of human morality. Biblical Christianity and Biblical Judaism are not based upon that. God gave the law to Israel to show them that they were sinners and that they needed a Savior. And then he gave them the sacrificial system to portray that Savior to them in the various sacrifices that were made. Okay? You know, now, the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer, the scripture says, can never take away sin. But they were representative. And what took away sin was the Jews' faith in what those sacrifices represented, or who they represented. They represented the Lamb of God, who does what? Who taketh away the sin of the world. So as in Adam all die, so in Christ what?
All be made alive.
All who are in Christ shall be made alive. Now, we preach the Word of God, and the world as a whole doesn't think that it needs a Savior. The world as a whole thinks that we're good enough, and we're good people. You hear people say that. And the truth of the matter is, we don't have any idea what God's holiness, righteousness, and justice is about when we begin to talk about ourselves as being good people. And so, let's pick up reading in this fourth chapter. We were dealing with the sin in the third chapter. We went back to the book of Romans and we looked at the 30 times that it was used, from the fifth chapter and the 12th verse to the eighth chapter and the third verse. She used 30 times, and the translators didn't translate the definite article one time. So it wasn't saying, let me read just a little bit of it in Romans, you know. And we'll start actually with the sin of Adam and Eve in the third, or the here we are, fifth chapter. Okay. It says in verse 12, Wherefore, as by one man, who is that man? That man is Adam. The sin. Sin with a definite article. So it's not sin in general. It's a specific sin. The specific sin is that you can be like God by what you do. That was the lie of the devil. And that's the basis of every religious system in the world, both inside and outside the canopy of Christianity. They're all based upon what man can do for God. Therefore, as by one man, the sin entered into the world, and the death, which speaks of both physical and spiritual death, by the sin. And so the death, you know, both physical and spiritual, passed upon all men, for that all, it's true that all have sinned, but there's no helping verb here in the Greek, for all sinned. You know, it's a singular sin. It's not what we've done in our lives. Yes, it's true. We have all sinned, but we all sinned singular when Adam ate of that tree. And that's the sin that condemns us all. Yeah. Because we're born, how? Dead, spiritually dead, in trespasses and sin. Well, how do the spiritually dead have a fellowship with that which is spiritually alive? You know, or God? You know, we're dead when our life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. For until the law, sin was in the world. So God gave the nation of Israel the chance to be under the law. And like a bunch of fools, they just eagerly rushed into it and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. They didn't think about their inabilities. And if they just thought about all of the complaining and grousing that they had done, and every time that God would judge one of the false gods of Egypt and Moses would increase the burden upon the Jews, what happened? The Jews would complain and tell Moses, will you quit going after the Pharaoh? You know, you're just making things worse. But God was judging the false gods of Egypt. And in judging the false gods of Egypt, he was judging the false gods of the whole world. Yeah. And but people would rather believe in the false gods of the world than to see the God any discomfort because of the gods of this world, which do not exist, are being judged. Okay? So he goes on, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not what? Imputed. That word impute means it's not charged. It's not charged when there is no law. So in order for us, you know, there was one law given to Adam and Eve. You shall not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For in the day that you eat thereof, ye shall what?
Surely,
you know, surely die. You know, so Eve was persuaded by the serpent that there was something good in that tree. You know, this is going to make you like God. And if you think about the religions of the world, they've been operating in that ever since. And I attended three different seminaries, and each one of them was heavy on conduct. You would never know that salvation is by grace through faith. You know, with all of the emphasis upon your life, your life, your life, and that people will look at your good life and want to be like you. What nonsense. Utter nonsense. And it's contrary to the truth of the gospel. You know, there's only one way into the presence of God, and that's by faith in Jesus Christ. And Jesus, who is the human, the physical manifestation of God. God is a spirit. You know, spirit is incorporeal. It can't be seen. But God is the Spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And the Son hath what? Revealed him. See? So what we see in Jesus is let me put it this way. Can you see my personality? In my body and through my humor and the things that I know, I express my personality. But my personality, the person, is invisible. The body in which the person dwells, it is visible. Okay? So you know me by my face, and I'm sorry about that. I've got a word sense of humor. But anyway, we know one another by our physical aspect. But let's put it this way. A fellow looks at a young maid. She's very, very pretty. He's attracted to her because she's very, very pretty. But when he gets to know her, he says, I sure wouldn't want to live there. And we see that with people. They're attracted by the outward. But, the outward is just, it doesn't express who we really are. So our personalities express who we really are. And then we, as believers in Jesus Christ, we not only have our personality, which is our human aspect, but when the gospel is preached and it's quickened to our hearts by the Holy Spirit, then we're made spiritually alive. And what we couldn't understand before, we now have the capacity. Now, capacity is one thing, and quantity is another. So we have the capacity to know the things of God, but what? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and by the foolishness of preaching, God has chosen to save them that believe. So the more we hear of the word of God, the more we have the capacity to grow spiritually. We also have the capacity to be as rotten as we can be. That's part of our fallen nature. And that's, people look at us and they say, well, he couldn't possibly be a Christian. I saw him take a drink, or I saw him go into a bar, or I saw him tell an off-colored story, or something of that color. That has nothing to do with your spiritual, whether you're saved or whether you're lost. Those are just things that, we've got to recognize there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. And we don't get rid of that just because we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who we are. And as we grow in the things of the Lord, we can maximize the spiritual and minimize the natural. But we're never going to get to the place where we are in any wise perfect. We're declared to be perfect by virtue of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, coming back to this, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed or it's not charged when there's no law. So God only gave Adam and Eve one law. What? Not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We went back and we looked at it and we saw how the serpent deceived Eve and made her think, just like the whole world thinks, that you can be like God by what we call morality, your concepts of right and wrong. And does that make us like God? No, because the concepts of right are also matched by the concepts of wrong. And we have both in us, naturally speaking. Okay? Now, let's go back. There were 30 times that singular noun sin, and also the word death is not just death, it's the death, which means ultimately the separation of of man from God for all eternity for those who do not believe on him. So let's pick up, let me see where, well, let's pick up at verse 11 of the third chapter and take that right into the fourth chapter. So I swear in my wrath, they, speaking of the nation of Israel, shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you. Now, this is being written to Jews, basically, who are scattered throughout the Mediterranean world, and Jews of the diaspora, many of whom have believed on the Lord, and they're by Apollos. You know, if you have a Bible, most of the Bibles say the epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Hebrews. And the second chapter proves that Paul couldn't have written it. Notice what it says in the second chapter of Hebrews. Let's pick up at verse 2. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, so yeah, recompense is a proper payment for what you've done, how shall we escape the judgment of God that's coming if we neglect so great salvation? No. So Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, if we reject that, how shall we escape the judgment that is going to come? Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. So how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord? So the Lord with the 12 and the various people he ministered to spoke the truth about who he was and what he was here to do, and he bore our judgment and went to the cross of Calvary in our behalf. So how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, now there's what it said, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? What's wrong with that verse and Paul, the apostle to the Hebrews? Paul was an eyewitness of the public ministry of our Lord. And when he was saved, then the Lord took him into the wilderness for 3 years and taught him. And we have basically all of the fundamental truth of the New Testament came from the Apostle Paul. The disciples were ministered to and ministered with the Lord under the law. Yeah. And so Peter speaks of it in the third chapter. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3. Where he says, let's pick up verse 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye be found in of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Now that's our imputed condition because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on our behalf. An account that the long-suffering of our Lord is what? Is salvation. Even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. Okay. So Paul he actually is the apostle that took Judas's place. They had an election, and they chose a fellow by the name of Matthias. Now, I challenge you, apart from his election in the first chapters of the book of Acts, you will never find one word spoken about Matthias again in all the New Testament. What happened? Well, the apostle chose Matthias, but the Lord chose Paul. And it's Paul, along with Luke. Luke wrote more words in two books, the book of Luke and the book of Acts, There are more words in those two writings than in all 13 of Paul's epistles. Just it's close to about the same number, but actually, you want to have a question and confound people. Who wrote more words in the New Testament? And it's Luke, not Paul. Who wrote more books? Paul. Okay. Now, back in 2 Peter again, as also in all his epistles, speaking of them and these things in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, under their own destruction. So Paul was an eyewitness, Paul took the ministry of Judas, and he was an apostle. He said, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Do I not have the power to lead about a sister, a wife? In his arguments to the Corinthians. Yeah. So now, let's go back to Hebrews. So, he says, let's see, where was I reading? For some, in verse 16 of the third chapter, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? What was their sin? They said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. Could they? No. Did they? No. So that was their sin. They promised to keep the law of God. It's not possible for you or me or any other person with a sin nature to keep the law. All the law can do for us is condemn us. And that's what it was written for. It's a ministry of condemnation and death. It shows you that you, like me, need a Savior. So how are we saved? Well, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. What do we hear? That Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he what? Rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. So, with whom was he grieved 40 years? Those Jews that said, all that the Lord has spoken we will do, did they? No. Before Moses got down from the mount, they told Aaron, make us a god. Yeah. And he fashioned a god of gold and set it on a pillar, the golden calf, and they were worshiping, and they worshiped like the Egyptian worship, and virtually every ancient religious system worship was sexual immorality. Homosexuality, what do you call it? Man and woman, whatever it was. Any kind of sexual deviancy they practiced in their worship. Okay. In fact, a lot of people don't think about this, but when Lot left Sodom, who went with him? His daughter. He tried to get the sons-in-law to go too, but Lot didn't have any testimony before them. And Mrs. Lot, because she was all tied up in, Lot was part of the ruling class in Sodom. And Mrs. Lot didn't want to leave it all behind. So God said, don't look back. And she had to take one last long, loving look. And what? He turned her into a pillar of salt. She was a saved woman, but she got caught up in the judgment because that's where her first love was. Now, when they got in the wilderness, then the two daughters began to think they were the only people in the world. And we'll have to get Dad drunk, not too drunk, so he can't know what he's doing, or is unable to perform, but drunk enough not to care. And at that time, they were still virgins. They were married and still virgins. In other words, in the sense of the word that was, we say, was the marriage consummated? Did they have a sexual union? No, the daughters of Lot never had a sexual union with the men that they were married with. Why? Because the men that they were married with preferred men to women. This shows, you know, and what's the scripture say? And all you have to do is start looking at some of the ads on TV today, as it was in the days of Noah, and as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it also be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. So, are we getting close to the time when the Lord is going to blow that trumpet? And like the disciples in the upper room, when he appeared in their midst, it says of them that they were terrified and affrighted. What does that mean? They were scared, they were really scared? No, it means one was physical and the other was spiritual. One was mental and the other was physical. So that, have you ever been scared so badly that you can't control yourself? You just shake?
Yeah.
Well, they had that reaction. And then within themselves, they couldn't control their emotions. Why? Because Jesus was supposed to have died. Well, they'd already seen him raised from the dead. But I guess it was because the upper room was locked, no way in, and he stood in their midst. What does that say about when he says to us, come up hither? Are we going to make holes in the ceiling, or are we just going to pass through? Yeah. Anyway, let's come back to this now. But with whom, in verse 17, was he grieved 40 years? You know, those people that promised to keep the law. Was it not with them that sinned, you know, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? Now, they sinned and they said all that the Lord has spoken we will do. And then they each individually sinned along the way because they couldn't do what they promised to do. And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? How was it that they believed not? Well, along with the law, when Moses was on the mount, read the book of Exodus. There's more information about the other thing that Moses received besides the tablets of stone. What was it? All of the sacrificial system. The sacrificial system points to the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, who taketh away the sin of the world. So, with the law was also given the sacrificial system because the wages of sin is death. You know, it's really the wages of the sin. You know, Adam and Eve sinned when they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That produced death in the human family. Okay? Because of that then, we see they thought they could enter into a rest with God, but they were trying to come the wrong way. You know, just like so many churches. Well, Jesus saves, they will say, but now you've got to prove to the world that you're a good person, you know, and you have to keep the law. And they pile on all of this stuff, and what are they doing? They're sinning exactly the way the Jews did in the wilderness. Now, our conduct is not part of our eternal inheritance. Our conduct has nothing to do with it. Why? Because the scripture says you're dead. When did we die? When Christ died. When were we buried? When Christ was buried. When did we rise from the dead? When Christ arose from the dead. And Christ ascended into heaven. And if you read the scriptures, you'll find that we ascended with him. So God counts us to already be in the presence of God in heaven, even though we're still here on this earth. And, of course, the day of our death, we don't know when it will be. And, you know, when I think about myself, I'm going to celebrate my 91st birthday next month, if I live so long. You know, my life is in the Lord. I'm here on this earth to continue to preach and teach the truth of the Word of God. When that ministry is done, and this should be the attitude of each one of us, when that ministry is done, the Lord's going to say, come up hither. And for me, I'm 20 years past, nearly 21 years past the allotted time. The man's age is nominally 70 years. Okay? So, is it because of good health? No, I can go through a laundry list of things that have happened to me over my life, and I don't want to bore you to death with it again. Yeah. But I've had so many things happen to me. By all rights, I shouldn't be alive. But who controls it? God does. Has nothing to do with me. It has to do with Him, and however long I can serve Him for His honor, for His glory. Okay? So then he says, so we see they could not enter in because of unbelief. So each of us, what's our relationship with the Lord predicated on? The person and work of Jesus Christ. In this room, there are no good people. There's not a just man upon the earth that does what? That doeth good and sinneth not. Our relationship with the Lord, sometimes we get perturbed with one another. Sometimes we do things that, tick one another off. But if you expect perfection from any of us, you're not going to find it. Because, there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. That being the case, there are going to be times when we do things that really, oftentimes, we don't want to do it ourselves, but we still do it. That's who we are. So he says, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Now, so far as my salvation is concerned, there's not one thing that I have to do to authenticate it. Not one. I was 70 years ago. I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. When I trusted Him as my Savior 70 years ago, Mother had said to me, I'm going to church tomorrow. Would you like to go with me? Yeah. If that's where you're going to be, that's where I'm going to be. I had no idea what was going to happen that day. But the gospel was preached. The Spirit of God quickened it to my heart, and I believed and was saved. And it's never had to be re-authenticated. All of this nonsense. If you're not everything that Christ would have you to be, come forward and rededicate your life. That is so much spiritual BS. Our lives, we please God by believing Him. If we believe Him, when we trusted Him as Savior, we died with Him. And if we died with Him, our lives are hid. There's not one thing about your life or my life that's going to be remembered at the judgment seat of Christ. Not one thing. The only things that can be remembered are those things that are done by faith, by the spiritual gifts which God has given us. The just shall live by faith, and the law is not of faith. And whatsoever is not of faith has sin, and their sins and iniquities will I remember when? No more. So, the only thing that can be remembered is what we do by faith. By the power of the Spirit of God and the gifts of the Spirit of God that He gives to us in order to serve Him. But as far as our daily conduct is concerned, it's not a license to do as we please, but you're dead. Do you go out and dig up a grave in the graveyard and open the casket and say, what are you guys doing in there? You're playing poker? It would be that absurd. No, the body's in the grave, but the soul, if it's a believer, the soul's in heaven with the Lord in a body which He prepared for them. You know, and we'll reside in that body until the day of the resurrection, when the Lord is going to raise our bodies, glorify them, adopt them, and receive them into his presence. Now, those of us who are alive and remain, we're not going to have that body like Paul had when he was stoned to death at Lystra. You know, he couldn't tell whether he was in his body or out of his body. You know, such a one caught up to the third heaven and saw things that what? Were not lawful to be uttered. So, that being our position in Christ, let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, even if you, even any of you should seem to come short of it. How can it be that you would, it would seem that you're short of the promise of God? The more emphasis you put upon your life, I've got to do this, I've got to do that, I mustn't do this, I mustn't do that. That's not faith. The just are lived by faith, and by faith, I died with Christ. By faith, I was buried with Christ. By faith, I was raised with Christ. By faith, I'm already present with him in heaven, and what I am doing on this earth, the only things that can be remembered that I'm doing, none of my sins will be remembered, only those things that I do by the power of the Spirit of God and the Word of God, by faith, will be remembered. And when we're judged, we can read it in the book of the Revelation, you have 24 elders sitting around a single throne. They each have crowns on their head. Speaks of the crown of righteousness and for the things that they've done in the body after that they were saved. And what do they do finally? They take the crowns from their head and cast them before the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he alone is worthy to reign. So even the things that we do by faith, we'll never have a chance to boast about them. It will just give us something that we can cast before the feet of the Lord, because he alone is worthy to reign. And when we get a, really get a perspective, you know, then all of the foolish nonsense that goes on in our minds, it just disappears. For unto us was the gospel preached, verse 2, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them. Why? Because it was not, it says, not being mixed with faith. They didn't believe the promises of God. They thought that they were establishing a relationship in which, you know, touch not, taste not, handle not, and the Jews had all kinds of rules of conduct that gave them the sense, just the sense of keeping the law, because the scripture says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, how many people are going to be justified in God's sight? None.
No flesh.
Yeah, no flesh. Okay? So he says, for we which have believed, do what? We enter into rest. Well, if you're resting, you're not working. So there's nothing any of us have to do in order to maintain our salvation. All of that nonsense preached under the canopy of Christianity came from the evil tree. That's the lie of the devil. Now, does that mean that we're completely idle? No. God gives us spiritual gifts. I'm exercising one right now by preaching to you. I was told years ago to study to show myself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so we operate by faith. And who energizes that faith? The Spirit of God who indwells us. So in reality, he's using my voice, he's using my personality, he's using my body to speak the truth of the Word of God. Now, does that mean every word that comes out of my mouth is from God? No, because every now and then we switch back and, you know, throw in a joke every now and then, you know. But the essence of what is being preached is not from me, it's from God. We're reading it directly out of his Word. Does it sometimes convict us? Yes. Because I'm reading it, am I picking on you? No, because I'm picking on me too. I have no more ability to do these things in and of myself than any of you do. We are to live our lives by faith. And when we live our lives by faith, it's the Spirit of God that is able to use us and quicken the things that he's taught us and use them for not my glory, his glory. See? For we which have believed do enter into rest. That is, we are at rest. Let's see. I lost my spot. Okay, verse 3. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, and I have to change a few words here for us to get the sense of what it really said. So we cross out the if, and between shall and enter, we put in the word not. So it will read, as I have sworn in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. So he's talking about the Jew who swore that they could keep the law. And as long as they think that that's the way they're going to have a relationship with God, they're not at rest. Okay. So it's that simple. So they shall not enter into my rest. Why? Because they think they have to work. Okay. And so many people under the canopy of Christianity think the same thing. Does that mean that we're without labor? No. I'm laboring for the Lord right now, preaching his word right now. And hopefully, dependent upon him for every word that comes out of my mouth. You know, so that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So they shall not enter into my rest, even though the works were finished from the foundation of the world. When was Christ crucified? Scripture says before the foundation of the world, before God ever created this universe. God is an omniscient God. So he knew when he created the universe and when he created man, that man was sin and that he ultimately would have to come and be a man upon the earth and die in the stead of the human race, shed his blood, you know, and then take his blood into heaven and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat so that we're accepted, how? In the beloved. Wow. Yeah. And these people are constantly want to substitute what I've been talking about for some sort of presumed holiness. You know, and their presumed holiness merely condemns them because we have to have genuine holiness. And if we think that we're providing it, we haven't got it. Okay. That's the truth of the matter. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in. Why? Because of unbelief. The Jews acted in unbelief when they said all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. Again, he limited a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice. Now, what's the hardening of the heart? Well, I've got to do something. And the moment that thought enters in, your heart has been hardened against the truth of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. It's not by works of righteousness, which we've done, but it's according to his mercy he saved us. So then they translated Yeshua, which is the equivalent of the Hebrew word Joshua. They translated Yeshua as Jesus, but it really should be We're not talking about Jesus, we're talking about Joshua. So when Joshua took them across the Jordan and into the land of Canaan, were they at rest? No. If Joshua had given them rest, then would he not afterwards have spoken of another day? So we'll begin at verse 9 next time. Okay. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we praise you and thank you for the marvelous truth of the grace of God, that we have an inheritance which is incorruptible and undefiled, that fades not away, and we can't do one thing to obtain it. We have it. We have it by faith. We have it as a gift from God to man, and you give us the faith to believe it, and because you give us the faith to believe it, it's inexorable, can't change. We have eternal life, and we shall never perish. We praise you in Jesus' name.